Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered. Unbothered. Unbothered.
Impermeable. Unbothered. Impermeable. Unbothered. I'm the people's champ. Obama. And you don't understand. Melania. Permeable. Unbothered. Sick. Allergic to the con artist. Fake woke. An imposter. Only real ones up in my roster. Like Junior C. That's my
Tuesday. I feel every time we do this, I feel like it's been forever, but I feel like the time goes by so quickly.
What's
oh,
up,
man. Hey, so and so, I don't know if people put two and two together about what our topic today was going to be. If you follow us at Discussions in the Black Room on Instagram, we did a little bit of an explanation as to what today's topic is going to be about. We named today's show The Asarian King because of The Lion King and its connection to the Asarian drama. So we're going to be talking about that. But before we get into the discussion, I really feel like I've been listening to this song all day, and I, you know, go back and forth. I was making everybody listen to it. I go back and forth between this song and then other songs. And then I just start playing this one, and I'll put it on repeat. It's such a motivating song, and I don't think that people understand the words that Beyonce is saying. I think sometimes when they listen to Beyonce, they just listen to it because it's Beyonce, and they don't listen to the words. But everybody that's listening today and in the future, I need you to listen to the words of this song, and this is how we're going to start off this week. All right, so we'll be right back.
Hit it.
If you feel insignificant, you better think again. Better wake up because you're part of something way bigger. You're part of something way bigger. Not just a speck in the universe. Not just some words in a Bible verse. You are the living word. You're part of something way bigger. Bigger than you. Bigger than we. Bigger than the picture they framed us to see. But now we see it. It ain't no secret, no. Understand that truth about that question in your soul. Look up, don't look down, then watch the answers unfold. Life is your birthright, say he's dead in a fine print. Take the pen and rewrite it. Step out your estimate. Step in your wisdom and know that you're excellent, right? Spirit is teaching, no, I'm not just preaching. I'm taking my own advice. Let mama let you know. Mama's still trying, I can't get no days off. I don't get no days off, truly I'm feeling it. I had to say that thing twice. Trying to be a good wife. Still really hard, I can't lie. But I promised you I would fight, so I fight. If you're feeling frustrated, you're thinking I'm jumping it. Forgiveness is key because we're fighting something way bigger. You never lose, we are winners. I'll be the root, you be the tree. That's on the fruit that was given to me. Legacy. We're part of something way bigger.
You're part of something way bigger. You're part.
up because you're part of something way bigger. You're part of something way bigger. I'll be the root, you'll be the tree. Pass on the fruit that was given to me. Legacy. We're part of something way bigger.
Oh, are we on? Can we? Are we back?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Oh
well.
Man. Okay, good. All right.
Difficulty.
Well, geez, goodness gracious. You know that's one of the like technology is so great. And then it's just so annoying sometimes because, like, you see, everything is going so good. And it's crazy because everything's always going so good. And then, when you don't need to do something important, everything works. But the moment that you are doing something important, like when I'm listening to music, the internet's working just fine. Listening to YouTube, but then when we're doing this, it's like, okay, we're going to disconnect now. Like, really?
Get out of here. Get out of here.
It always works like that.
Well, I mean, either way, that was a couple of minutes of radio silence, but that song.
We needed that. We needed that to really contemplate the song. We needed that.
There we go. There we go. You need a couple of moments after that song. Like when I was listening to it, and when I heard she said you're more than verses in the Bible or something. You're more than a Bible verse or something like that. And then she said you're the living word. Oh my God! Like that's literally what the Asarian drama is about, first of all, and what we're trying to get people to consider. Speaking of, there's somebody on the phone line that had a number one best-selling book on Amazon.
Oh yeah.
Where's he at? I'm here.
It has a lot to do with all the stuff we're talking about today and that song and everything. So if you have not done so yet,
please, Daddy, tell them where to find it and what it's about.
That's what I was just going to say. Please talk about it.
Well, it's on Kindle and is now a physical book. You go to Amazon.com and you just put in spirituality before religion. It's finally come to fruition. It has been a labor of love and patience and understanding and just it's a very good feeling. Yeah, very much so. Very, very much so in terms of being a creation and thought process, and with the Lion King and with us talking about what we were going to talk about this week, the Asarian drama, and with all of those things combined, made it really very powerful that everything is coming to a particular point right now. And there is a part of the book that deals extensively with the Asarian drama. One of the chapters in particular deals with the Asarian drama and its meaning. And you remember, Sasha, when you were doing your work in Black Studies Department at New Paltz, you did a paper on a comparison between the Lion King and the Asarian drama. Proved to be very interesting. Yeah, and it's an important thing for all of us because the Asarian drama is what all dramas are based on. All stories fundamentally can go back to that protagonist and the antagonist. It can go back to those parts of the human psyche, you know, and it can be applied on many different levels because when we were talking about it this past weekend, we talked about you can look at it culturally, and I said, yeah, you can look at it culturally, but you can also look at it as a family.
Mm-hmm.
That's a family story. And you can look at it as the dynamics of the individual and the turmoil within the individual, and that's what the authors of the Asarian drama were attempting to get people to understand that everything –
that's interesting.
Returns back to one universe, one word, universe, one word. And every one of those characters in The Lion King are the different personalities that we have within us, both male and female.
Wow. That's an interesting way to look at it.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
And there's... deserving of conversation, particularly with children, because they can understand it.
Yeah.
You know,
children
Mufasa
can see
is...
Because what happens with children is that they're untainted. We're so tainted by the world and what we learn that we see something and we assume something. Children analyze it. They look at it, and they look at it for what it is.
Yep.
They can tell you different things that you didn't even pick up on. You're like, wait, I wasn't even looking at that. I'm thinking, you know, this is what it is because this is what it is. But they're like, no, this is what I interpreted from it. It's very interesting what, you know, the two differences that you get from when it's a child and they're untainted and they're looking at it for, you know, in the purest of eyes, and they're just like interpreting in a totally different way than if we're looking at it.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, like I tell you, I, you know, I've always credited a lot of my teaching presentation, the way I teach, my methodology, comes out of being around children. And taking the time in my kindergarten class, first grade class, straight up through college, to ask the students, what did you enjoy?
Yeah.
What did you not enjoy? What could I have done that would have made it clearer or better? What can I keep doing that you think should always be in my class? What do you think I can eliminate? And I was always, I believe, personally strong enough to accept the criticism. And I'll tell you, some of the greatest criticism I have ever received has come from my five-year-old. Along with y'all, along with y'all, you know, when they come at you, when children come at you, they don't play. And the only time they really do play or will not tell the truth is if you've instilled a fear of one way or another in them. But if you open a house, a safe house, where children feel that they can express to you their deepest feelings, you'll find out a lot about yourself. And that's one thing I've always appreciated. And, you know, you all always have had the open opportunity to discuss your feelings. You've never been intimidated by your mother or I. So the everyday lessons that I received from y'all were very important as to how I then would go into the classroom, because I was a teacher before I was a parent. Or I should say before I was parenting. And the one thing that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that when you are parenting, you are a different teacher. There's just something about having your own children. And it's not that teachers that do not have children do not honor and respect children. What I'm saying is that having your own children, loving your own children, brings a sense of understanding to your children that you have, considering that you love your children that you're teaching. But you then understand from a parent perspective that sometimes, you know, parents, well, not sometimes, but parents don't want to hear bad things about their children. You know, and fortunately, you all always made us, your mother and I, very proud. So I cannot say from a perspective that we ever had any situations that were challenging, misbehavior, not doing work, not excelling in the work. So we have been blessed with that. Both you, both of you and your brother, Heru, have always made us proud. A couple of times I had to come up on your brother sometime because he was chasing people onto the school bus. He was chasing some people up on the school bus. Sometimes I had to put the brother in check. But, you know, but that was only in middle school. That was only in the seventh and eighth grade. And then he calmed down and he just became
a
really.
He only had to get in trouble one time and then it was all over.
But he was.
It's a disappointment. It's not like, oh, you're gonna get in trouble. Like, you'd be like, I'm disappointed in this. You know, I taught you better than that, and then that's like, okay, now I feel even worse. You never want to. You never want to disappoint anybody.
But again, particularly people who are in your corner. People who don't disappoint you. You know, like when I promised you something, and even with Caress, when I promised him something, Beyblade, there was something Beyblade that I had promised him that I would get him.
By July
2nd. Yeah, by July 2nd, I promised him. I said, I can't do it now, but by July 2nd, I will. But then I was going to be out of town. on July 2nd. And I realized, well, I told him, and so I brought it to your house late to make sure he had it. Because when you say something to a child, but then at the same time, I can hold him responsible for the thing that he promises me.
Yeah, exactly. You teach them the response, the cause and effect. You teach them, if you do this, this happens. So now that he knows how it is to feel to, you know, do something and get rewarded for it, he's going to want to do the same thing. Kids
and
learn,
he feels
and that's
good
why
when he does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cornerstone.
You know, go ahead, Daddy.
I was just going to say this to tie it back into our subject tonight. That is the cornerstone story to The Lion King and to the Asarian drama.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's a word that was not correct in The Lion King, and that was revenge.
Mm.
It wasn't revenge. It was to avenge.
Yep.
There's a difference. Avenge is a principle of Ma'at called reciprocity.
Mm.
What goes around will come around.
Mm-hmm.
So that when Scar died, Simba was not inflicting revenge. He was avenging his father. That's reciprocity. What goes around comes around. You shall reap what you sow.
That's karma.
Mm-hmm.
That's karma. That's
karma
exactly. And that
terms.
Is where, that's right. And that's where karma came from. Because what happened to Scar was not inflicted, so to speak, by Simba. It was inflicted by nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because the very thing, the very essence that he used to kill Mufasa.
Yeah, the same
was
way
the same
he did
thing
it.
That turned on him and ate that brother up alive. My mama used to always say, he or she who digs the pit is the one that will fall in.
Wow.
See, evil may be able to rule for a while, but It does have a short lifespan. Evil has a short lifespan.
And it's there for a reason.
And it is there to teach us a lesson. Because what actually happened made the pride stronger. It made everybody step up on their game. It made Mufasa's wife, Yasa, step up. It made Simba step up. It made all the people step up and understand that they would have to face the evil. Now, we
that's
can apply
now,
that to today. That's right. We can apply that to today. That's why it's multi-referential. The story can be told on multiple levels. Not just in many ways. But in many levels, like Mark Twain said, that history does not repeat itself, but it certainly does rhyme.
Wow.
That's interesting. I like that.
You know, everybody's talking about the wars that we're going in, and they're saying, we don't want another Vietnam. No, there'll never be another Vietnam. History will not repeat itself, but what we're going through right now certainly does rhyme with Vietnam.
Wow. That's interesting.
And you know, with what you're saying, I didn't even realize. I've always looked at The Lion King as being a story of the Asarian drama. You know, with everything. And then I've listened to and I feel like I say this every episode. I was listening to The Breakfast Club. And Charlemagne was saying,
the biggest fan.
And Charlemagne every time. And Charlemagne was saying that the story of the Lion King is about black well, I think he said black man, but black people in America. And I didn't take that into consideration until I saw the new version of The Lion King. Because when you think, like Scar, when they say all your skin folk ain't your kinfolk, Scar is a lion. But he was siding with the hyenas. The hyenas ruined the Pride Land. People still had to live with them and suffer. They knew how powerful a king was supposed to be and how prideful as a lion a king was supposed to be. But because of the people that were in charge, they were themselves, but they weren't themselves. And I never looked at it. Like the hyenas, in my eyes, seem to be negative white people that are ruining the world. But there will always be a person that looks like you that allows them to step into your territory and to ruin what you have going on. And they will kill and steal and do things in order for you to fail. And even though, like the hyenas, I mean the lionesses could have took all the hyenas out if they would have come up with a plan, but they didn't feel like they had the proper leadership in place in order to do that. And that's one of the issues that we have. We feel like we don't have a plan unless we have the proper leaders, but we can be our own leaders. We shouldn't be waiting for someone to lead us to where we need to go. I mean, it's nice to have someone to model, you know, daddy, you talk to people, and it's great to have someone, but if you are on vacation, is the revolution, you know, going to be over because you go on vacation? Like, are we not going to be able to be better because the leaders, you know, all of our previous leaders, things have happened to them. The leaders now, sometimes they're not actual leaders and are benefit and beneficial to us. Like, if we don't have a leader, are we not going to do anything? And that's one of the things that we look at it, and they could have taken over. They could have made it, you know, the lions were stronger than the hyenas. And as soon as Simba came back, the lions defeated the hyenas. And it's like, why did this happen just because Simba came back when it could have happened whether Simba was there or not? What were you going to say, Daddy?
No, I was going to say, okay, now I'm going to say something.
Uh-oh.
Well, let me just say.
Uh-oh.
Yesterday, the President of the United States had an impromptu meeting that was not planned with a group of religious African American religious pastors.
Oh God! Oh no!
What? I'm scared to know where this is going.
And I saw some interviews afterwards on certain television stations, and they responded to what they had experienced at the White House. Now, no names. But why, when you are attempting to impact our community, do you not only go after the religious leaders, but you go after the religious leaders that lean your way? And the reason why I say that is because, again, that's a family problem. That's a family problem. Because we as an African people, are deeply spiritual. Deeply spiritual.
Yeah.
And we are misguidingly religious. And so, because of the role that the minister has played historically in our existence on the plantation.
Well, that's what we were talking about also last time, 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So what religion means to people and why they go to it as opposed to, you know, feeling as though they are who they are and they don't need, you know, they can look within themselves for the answers.
What happened in the interview?
Well, they propped up the president.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm very serious.
Are you
but
surprised?
It goes back to the Asarian drama. Because that's who Scar was.
Mm.
Scar was a lion. He was the male.
Yep.
But
yep.
he was the one that was overlooked because he was not a good male. He was like Satan in the Asarian drama.
Mm-hmm.
You notice he had no children.
Yep.
So
no,
he was
he
impotent.
Didn't he have a child in the, there was like a second one. I think he had a child in
he
the
He had a child, though. He was dead.
Who? Scar?
Oh, wait.
Scar
was
dead.
Never mind. Go ahead. Keep going.
No. Scar had no children.
Simba had a child. Simba had a child.
But that's the Asarian drama. Because Mufasa
they had a second version of it. They had the Lion King 2.
Yeah, but that's not the original story.
Simba's son.
They would have changed the meaning of the story if they had had Scar have a child. Because that's not, because the idea of the Asarian drama was that Scar, on an ecological level, see, remember that you see Asar in the African story, you see him as either being colored green or you see him as black.
Mm.
When he is green, Asar represents botany, life, botanical life. When he's black, he represents zoology. And I say that because I'm connecting humans to animals. So I'm not just saying to humans, I'm saying that they represented zoology, they represented the animals, they represented the reptiles and the fish and the mammals when they're black.
Mm.
And the thing about Satan is that he was looked upon as being red. Red represented the desert. It represented the desert, which killed life.
Wow.
Mm.
So while Asar represented the living life, his evil brother represented the dead life.
Mm.
But he was also part of what was important because it is the balance of the dry that keeps the wet from flooding.
Mm.
So we're not talking about good and bad. We're talking about good and what exists when it ain't good. So that Scar, although he did unnecessary things, he was very important in the story to bring that pride to the next level. It's like Christianity and Judas. The hero of Christianity is Judas, not Christ.
Yep.
Because if Judas hadn't betrayed Christ, Christ wouldn't have been crucified and Christianity wouldn't exist. So you have to detach yourself from stories and don't take them personally. And that's what the Asarian drama allows you to do. If you didn't look at the Lion King, you would appreciate Scar. Because Scar was that level of negativity that brought positivity back to the pride, but somebody always had to be sacrificed. So Mufasa had to be sacrificed in order for Simba to come forward, just like in us. There are things within us that need to be brought to the next level.
But you
and
can
sometimes
also see, you can also see with Scar that he had so many insecurities.
Yeah.
And he has so much jealousy and envy.
That's right. And isn't that in us?
Yeah.
Isn't that in each and every one of us? Don't we have those feelings too? So what do? You have to put them in their place, and you have to let karma take over and take those evil forces out of you so you can rise to the next level. That's what ignorance and intelligence
is. Don't tie the devil to a rock.
That's it. Got to put it in its place. Same thing with us.
Yep.
Procrastination is the death and the murder of time.
Wow.
When we put stuff off, We are procrastinating our greatness.
Wow.
And sometimes we do it through fear and insecurity and jealousy and envy. But when you free yourself of that, there is nothing you can't achieve.
Yeah.
And my evidence is our ancestors. Look at what they did. And I'm not just going back to the plantation. I'm going back to my parents. My parents.
Mm-hmm.
Your grandparents. Your mother's parents. Their struggle. Their work. And what they did to make me who I am.
Mm-hmm.
They went through the Asarian drama. They went through the Lion King. Somebody had to die to bring forward the best.
Yeah.
And sometimes we got to kill stuff in us in order to bring forward the resurrected form of who we should be.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like Jesus.
That's where Jesus came from. That's the story of the resurrection of
wow.
God.
Wow.
Because Jesus was only a manifestation of the Father if he was the Son.
Wow. Wow.
That's what, you know, that's what all these stories are about. And that's why I wrote the book.
They were just personified.
That's it. As opposed to metaphors. Everything you need, you have. Whatever you need, whatever you want, you were born with it. Not only do you have, but you were born with it. Just like a young girl is born with every egg that she will ever take through the process, she's born with that. There's a part that's going to come out in one of my webinars. It's called Grandma, Ma, and Me. Do you know that when your grandmother was born, she was born with every egg that she would ever produce? Now I'm speaking of on your mother's side now. When your grandmother Pearl was born, she was born with every egg that she would ever produce, which one of those eggs was your mother. But in your mother was every egg that she would ever produce, which was you. I'm talking science now. This ain't science fiction. This is science fiction. So when were you actually born? If you go back in your female lineage, when did you not ever exist?
But that's why, and people don't fully understand, having vicarious trauma as well. Because every feeling that our mother felt, we felt. Every feeling that her mother felt, she felt, and we felt. Because
Is that epigenetic?
You know,
Is that epigenetic, Daddy? Like what you and Philippe talk about?
Oh, well, it's part of it, but epigenetics really is what is formed from your experiences that becomes part of your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I think what Candace is talking about is what's already there, period, no matter what you're saying.
Oh.
See, you know, Western civilization, if I may say, is a very backward-thinking civilization. And we really have to move forward because I know there were many people that were very angry at that minister that spoke yesterday on the television show. But as I was listening to what he was saying, I couldn't help but think of all of the, you talk about epigenetics. I thought about, and I encourage people to go back and look at one of Malcolm's presentations where he talked about the house Negro and the field Negro. And they're different personalities, going back to what you're saying, Kandike, about the various personalities within us and the psychodrama that goes on in our minds every day when we're living in this type of world. I mean, it's just so interesting to see the House Negro and the field. And, you know, you can apply that to the Republicans. Because the Republicans are some House Negroes now, too, you know. Even though they're European, those are House Negroes.
Yep.
When you think of the metaphor that Malcolm was talking about. And I just have to tell you that I believe that Donald Trump was a divine message to us. Because he has woke us all up to the Osirian drama.
Yep.
In all of my studies, in everything that I've studied from a spiritual perspective, Donald Trump is the personification of the Antichrist. Everything I've studied in religious law, in religious studies, and I've spent a great deal of my life starting from a very young man, studying Latin, you know, for the choir and the altar boy and being so close to the church, and then going into African spirituality and Santeria and Vodun and being aware of those Orishas. All of my studies of good and what's not good has led me to believe that Donald Trump's actions, because I don't like to call people names, his actions are anti-Christic. Because Christ was about bringing us together, and the Antichrist is about separating us. His strength comes in separation. It's amazing. And
you know
the circle of life. The song "The Circle of Life" is a perfect theme for what we're going through. The circle of life, reciprocity. What goes around comes around.
Oh man, and I don't even have that one. Wish I had that one.
For a later date, it applies. It will apply.
You just made me. You made me when you just said about the strength that we have. That made me think of one of the songs that I was gonna play. So I'm gonna put that on and let everybody marinate. Like, cause you just said you said way too much for us to continue talking without thinking about what you just said. So I'm going to play a song so we can listen to the song and think about what you just said, and then we'll be back in a second.
In the league, who you wanna be? I'm who they wanna be. B-E-A-U-T-Y-E. Never seen so much rage from a queen. Rage from a queen. Queen so strong, thought she was a machine. Girl of your dreams, Sinclair regime. Turn to the max, can't forget Maxine.
But fun to be as a goddess inside of being modest. 100 degrees the hottest. If we're being honest, ebony anybody. Next, people win, they say we're being demonic. Angel in disguise, I hate I have to disguise it. Why you gotta despise it? Rich and demonic, why I'm making deposits? Give me all the power, it's time to realize it.
Don't know, good thing my power, my power, my power. Don't know, good thing my power, my power, my power. They feel away, oh wow. They feel away, oh wow. Don't know, good thing my power, my power, my power. Don't know, good thing my power, my power, my power. They feel away, oh wow.
This that bar, this ain't no par. This that nappy, this that herb, this that kinfolk, this that skinfolk, this that war, this that bloodline on the front line, ready for war. Where you gonna run? Protect my grace, keep it locked in the safe. Don't make me get back to my ways. My power they never take.
Don't ever take my power.
Become a man.
if you want to put it like
that. Wow.
And it is the feminine principle in all of us.
Wow.
That pulls up and makes us males. In other words, in women, it's the being a protector is a male energy. It's not a man's energy. It's a male energy. It's an electron.
Mm.
The female energy is magnetism. I'm giving away a little bit of the book, but okay. Is magnetism, and the male energy is electricity. Together, in balance, they create electromagnetism. So it's not about looking at it as a man or a woman. It's about looking at it as a spirit of energy. And it was the magnetic energy of Nala that electrified Simba to make him return back to the pride and take his responsibility. Because it was his destiny. Now, Rafiki is the gorilla or the baboon or mandrill or whatever primate that was. But in Egypt, Tehuti was not just an ibis bird, but at times he was also looked upon as a primate. So that it was the knowledge of Rafiki that told Simba. And the wife of Tehuti is Maat. And so when you look at the Lion King, now, when I was sitting there, because you and I had spoken, I said, I got to get to see this before we have this show. Because I don't want to just be talking. I don't want to talk about cartoon Lion King. I want to talk about the most current Lion King. And as I was sitting there, it wasn't hard for me to see the Asarian drama.
Exactly. That it was different this time for some reason.
Well, because of the nature of it not being a cartoon. But as I was watching The Lion King, it wasn't hard for me to see the Osarian drama. I wasn't even trying to see the Osarian drama. It was right there in front of me. But we all have to understand the original Osarian drama is the battle that goes within each and every one of us. We all have Mufasa.
Mm.
We all have Nala. Whether you're a man or a woman, you have those male and female energies that are constantly in play in us, constantly doing things to us, constantly shaking us up. When you're at a point where you're a little bit scared to stand up and do what you have to do, it's Nala that shakes you and says, get up and do what you're supposed to do. It's the feminine energy that makes us a man or makes us do the right thing, whether you're a man or a woman. The decisions in your life that you have, Kandike and Sasha, and to all the sisters that are listening, all women, don't make no difference what culture. When you decide that you need to do something but you're a little bit apprehensive, when women stand in the face of men and say, hey, your time is up, the Me Too movement, that was a female energy that activated a male energy in a woman that said, your time is up. You ain't doing this to me no more. When those women came out against Kavanaugh, when they came out against men who are abusing them, that's a female energy that's activating the electricity of your male energy. When I used to take y'all and, when I used to take you all to wherever we would be going, that wasn't the father in me. That was the mother in me. When your mother protected you against harm or anything that may happen, that wasn't the mother in her. That was the father in her. That's a male energy in protection. Nurturing and sustaining is a female energy. That's the Osarian drama right there. And that's why I say we only have one enemy. The enemy we have is the scar in all of us. And those hyenas, the hyenas are necessary because the hyenas in Africa hyenas in general, but they're in Africa. Hyenas eat the dead, which stops the toxic nature. Hyenas and vultures are alike. One is in the air, the other is on land.
Mm.
And what they do is that they're cowards because they're waiting until the animals are at their worst before they'll attack them.
Well, that sounds familiar.
Well, that's the way it is. They have to wait until you're at your weakness. They have to separate you. And when you're at your weakness, that's when they eat you. Remember, when the hyenas ate Scar, it was at his lowest point. They knew he ain't had no friends in that neighborhood. And that's how it is with us. We play mind games with ourselves. And if our lower thoughts are in power, it convinces all the other parts of our body to go along with you, go along with that lower self. And so everybody starts talking inside of you. Oh, you can't do that. You know you don't have no power. And then you convince yourself. But then all of a sudden comes the hero. The Heru that says not only can we do it, but we're gonna do it, and that's when the hyenas bow down. The hyenas within us bow down because they're afraid, because now they know the power's in you. And pretty soon, when you start doing it, you say, "Yeah, I can do this." And the better you do it, the more confidence you get, and the less confidence the hyenas have.
And what you're saying is crazy, and it's making me think of in the beginning they were afraid of Mufasa, they were afraid of one lion. But when they
that
sounds like what's going on with all these people that are racist. They didn't start coming out the way that they are now until they had the president talking the garbage that he's talking. Like they
were there,
but they were afraid. Like they come out when they have someone to put a battery in their back. They are so weak and insignificant, and they're such cowards that you won't come out unless you have somebody else telling you that it's okay to come out. That's exactly what happened. That's what's happening now. Because all people are coming out of the cave like the hyenas.
That's right. That's exactly
crazy. Like, it's crazy because I'm literally thinking of how scared they were. If there are so many of them and they're not scared when it was Scar in charge, the same people were scared when Mufasa was in charge. Like, it's such a crazy story. And I'm
but
thinking,
why
like,
was
I
that?
Just said that. That's what made me think about it.
Well, Mufasa kept Scar in place. Scar knew his place. And he did not move from that spot. Because he knew, and the hyenas knew, that Scar was in charge. So when President Obama was president, everybody bowed down. But then when Trump came in, now all of a sudden everybody's brave. Everybody now the other day in that garlic festival where predominantly this was a Hispanic festival. For 40 years they've had the garlic festival in California. And by the way, the person that did it, young man, young European white supremacist, he was an incel.
They all are.
Another example of an incel who is a person. See, it's one thing, I understand everyone's talking about celibate and, you know, it has its sensual or sexual part of it, but that's not what it is. It's that you doubt your manhood. That's what incels are. Everything else that they can't relate to women and they don't know how to talk to women and they don't have relationships with women, those are all symptoms of the greater problem. And the greater problem is you doubt your manhood.
Wow.
And guess what? You don't have to guess it because you're not a man. I can tell you you're not a man. So I'll stop you from burning your wood. I'll tell you, you ain't a man. You're not a human.
Yeah,
but another example of a wolf coming out, and he literally cut open the fence to get in because he was afraid that if he went in the front, they would check him and find the gun.
Wow. That is crazy.
So he cut open a hole in the fence to get in the back to come in. Half hour before the festival to end. The scar.
The coward.
Woo.
That's
the
crazy.
Powerless feel empowered now because the powerless is in charge.
I just don't, like, it has to be all psychological. Because
it is.
It makes no sense.
Oh, it's there. It's an ice age mentality. These are ice people. This is deep. This is the end of their time. Our issue is that we have been brainwashed. And we have been told an illusion, and we have come to believe the illusion, just like those ministers that I observed talking yesterday. They have now bought into the illusion. They are living the illusion that they've been given. Because they are very powerful. But they have been given a bill of goods that they are powerless.
Wow.
You give somebody a myth, you get them to believe the myth, and you get them to form the habit of believing the myth. And while it's the last formed, it's always the hardest to get rid of because we know that they are not supreme.
Yep.
We don't believe it no more. But we've become very comfortable being a house Negro.
Yep.
Because once you step out into the field, then you've got to do something about the conditions you find yourself in.
I've been saying that, not in those words, but I've been saying the same thing.
You know, you can become very comfortable being someone's slave.
Yeah.
You know, everybody say, who wants to be a slave? There are some people very comfortable. If you have formed the habit of being a slave, it's very comfortable being a slave.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
and if they change the wording of it to employee, if they change the wording of it to employee or prisoner, you don't even know that you're a slave.
That's
they can change the wording and you feel good. That's like when people eat meat. You might not want to eat it if it was called a pig, but because it's called pork, you don't think it's an animal. So
there
you eat it. If you change the wording, it becomes psychological, and you don't think it's so bad. So you have to do what somebody else says, or else you won't be able to do this, and you won't be able to go here. But you won't be able to do this and go here anyway because you're always working, but you feel like that's what you have to do in order for you to survive. And they've just changed the wording. They changed the wording from sharecropping to credit cards. Change the wording and make people believe that what they're doing is what they have to do in order to be successful or to survive in this society.
Mm. That's very interesting.
Wow.
And then after all this happens, then Condicate, people come talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't figure out why their life ain't what it's supposed to be. That's it.
Yeah.
And sometimes they may not get a loan with you and then have to talk to Condicate because they didn't get the loan.
Yeah.
There are sometimes they have a problem with Condicate and then they are sent to you to ask for a loan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See,
but
they all play ping pong.
So they come to me.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh.
And the other day I was listening to the Urban View radio program on Sirius XM. And they were talking about what had happened when the loans fell through and the banks gave people mortgages. They said that what President Obama should have done was to bail out the people that had houses and make the bank pay instead of giving the banks the bailout and make the people pay.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like that before.
But if they would have given it to the people and not the banks, then the whole system would have fell apart. Because the reason why the Great Depression happened is because there wasn't enough money in the banking system in order to for the cycle to go on. Because when you put money in your savings account, that are in the bank in general, a lot of the money that's on deposit, which is the purpose of the FDIC, is to circulate among the company. They don't care about regular people. They care about ensuring that the businesses function, because that's the stat, like that's the status of the United States. We're successful because of how successful our economy is.
But you know,
well, they're
something,
not going to bail out the people. They're not going to give money to people because they don't care about people.
No, yeah. But you know, I you know, going to the economic piece of this, I was looking at my savings account, and I was looking at my stash account, which is like the stock market.
The investment.
And
mm-hmm.
you know, the amount of money that I have made in my savings account in no way reflects what you make on the stock market. You just have to take a chance.
Oh, please. That is America.
But so many of us think that the savings account is going to be what we need to do.
The higher the risk, the higher the reward. And I said this to you because we have very good conversations about investments. People that don't risk don't make money. Yeah. People that don't risk do not make money. You will not make money having a savings account. And that's one thing that people don't get. You could save. And if you're not sleeping and your money is making money, you should have diversification in everything. You need to have different bank accounts. You need to have different investment accounts. You need to have different funds within your investment account, because and then you need the multiple streams of income where you're making money while you're sleeping. You've told stories about this before, Daddy. If you're not doing that, you will not be wealthy. You don't become wealthy by saving your money. You may have a lot of money in the bank, but if you don't know how to make, like if you don't know how to make your money work for you, you're going to work for your money. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. If you do not have the ability, like my, I'll know that I've made it financially when I can have money in the bank that I don't touch, but I live off of the dividends. And that is when I know that I have become successful in general when it comes to money. Even when, you know, with all the if you put $100,000 in the bank and you're earning dividends on it or whatever you're earning on it, depending on the product that you put it in, if you have the ability to pay your bills or go on vacation or do certain things and you don't have to touch the basic money, that's when you know that you're on the right track to do something. And a lot of us don't know that. We think that if we have $100,000 under the mattress that we're doing something. No. What happens if your house burns down? What happens if you need the money, you spend it all? What happens if you put that money into a house and then your house forecloses? It doesn't matter how much money. And a lot of us get caught up with money. And that is the one thing that anybody that I talk to, and my friends and my family can attest to this. If you speak to me and you listen to what I say, investments, there's so many different types of stash is great. And I'm so proud of you, Daddy, because you are real, like doing all sorts of, you're finding things out, finding different companies like the Beyond Meat, like you're finding out different companies that are doing well. And that's the only way that we're going to become successful. It's not going to happen by putting money into a savings account, because a savings account is pretty much just like, it's like a placebo. It's great to have it, and it's important to have an emergency fund of at least 6 months of your expenses, because you never know what could happen. But if you, and I'm going to say this, and I just said it, if your money is not working for you and not making money for you, you're working for your money, and you're always going to be a slave to money, because money isn't God. What you do with your money is the blessing, not the money itself.
I'm a living testament to that, because I've gone through those changes with you as you've guided me through different ideas and concepts, and it dawns on me, you know, I see it so plain, I see it so clear, and also we can get biblical with this. There was a Bible story about the man that was given talents. In fact, it was three. There were three different versions of the talents, and one person built on it. And one person buried it, and one person, I forget what the other one did, but the one that was punished was the one that buried it. Because God said to the
story.
Because talents are really about what you've been given in life.
Yeah.
And some people just bury their talents, don't do anything with them. There are other people that take their talents and they use them to go geometrically ahead of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a biblical concept, although, you know, I'm careful how I make my – but that's an economic metaphor for what you do with your money. If you bury it in a savings account, you know, when I look at what I have gotten from my savings account, it's a joke. I couldn't even get a Metro car.
Do you know how much money the banks are making with your savings account?
That's right.
I work in business banking. Do you know the interest rate? There's 4, 5, 6, 7, 9% that they're making while they're giving you 0.01%, which is absolutely nothing on your savings. But they're taking your money and they're restricting how many times you can take out of your savings account. And if you take more time, they will convert it into a checking account or they will charge you a fee for using your savings account more than 6 times during a statement cycle or month. And so not only are they making 5, 6, 7, 8, 9% and giving you 0.01%, they're also charging you if you use your money too many times during the month. So
that's amazing.
Yep.
That's amazing. And I think that as a people, you know, Philippe and I have a thing up. It's called, well, I should say Philippe has a thing up, but we did a interview on 50 ways that African Americans in particular, but people in general, don't get it economically.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't blame us, though, because we've never been brought through the process before. You know, there are some families that sit down and told this when they fight, like what Caress goes with you. I mean, he sits down
mm-hmm.
and he hears
yep.
what's going on. There are some families that generationally they have done this. But we are at a point, Edwin Nichols talks about the art of survival and the art of thrival. And, you know, for most people,
mm-hmm.
we're surviving. We're barely making our rent. We're barely making our bills. So we're surviving. The moment you start to get or begin to make money that allows you to comfortably survive, what is excess of your survival begins to allow you to thrive.
Yes.
And what you talk about when you can live off your dividends, that's thriving.
Mm-hmm.
That's thriving. And the more you can thrive, the more you can invest, the more you can invest, because you can't invest hoping you don't lose your money. You can't put the rent money on
exactly.
the stock exchange.
Exactly.
You have to be willing
exactly.
to lose that money. That's the risk. You're going to
exactly.
lose. I had a neighbor back
that's
in 2008. Yeah, how about that? Hey, listen, but I'm listening. I listen. That's why I say I listen to people. And I obey.
I love it.
And when you were telling me the things that needed to be done, I said, I'm in.
You did.
I'm
100%
in.
From the beginning.
I'm in. I'm into black business. I'm into this concept. And I understand. I see the world that's coming before us. Culture and everything I do in culture has its place. But poor revolutionaries lead poor revolution.
Mm.
And we have to come to understand as a people what we have to do. And economics
yep.
plays a very important part in our future. Maybe one day we'll be in a position where we will be in a place where we can make it so that nobody suffers. I would like to be there. But until we get up out of this hell, some angels going to have to start acting devilish.
Seriously. But you know, that made me think, I don't remember where I saw it. I saw somebody else say it. And they were talking about, they always make it seem like we are living in poor neighborhoods, that we have no money, that our dollar doesn't mean anything. But why are all of these companies coming into our neighborhoods, setting up shop and making money? Obviously, they know where the money is. They just know where the uneducated consumer is as well. Because nobody can go, you can't go into a Korean neighborhood. Black people cannot go into Italian neighborhood, Korean neighborhood, Arab neighborhood, never. You can never open up shop in somebody else's neighborhood. But they all come into our neighborhood, don't respect us at all. Did you hear the way that they talk to the customers? Obviously, we're not that poor if they keep setting up their companies in our neighborhood, and they are making so much money. It boggles my mind because I never really thought about it. Like, you think about it, but you don't really think about the fact that if it was such a bad neighborhood, we had, no money, why are they in our neighborhood selling things to us? And I don't understand why we don't get it.
That's it. Well, again, it goes back to the same reason why those ministers went to the White House to become a buffer for the president who just attacked black people and Hispanic people. And they allowed themselves to be used. And then they went on television to further their being used like a carpenter uses a tool. It all goes back to the mind. It all goes back to the psyche. Psychology is not the study of the mind. Psyche comes from the word saku, which is soul. It's the study of the soul.
Yeah.
And there are many people in this civilization that have a hole in their soul.
Wow.
Just the way it is. Look around and you'll see.
Wow. I think we're going to need some time and space.
The way to get W-H-O-L-E, to get that H-O-L-E out of your soul, is to read spirituality over religion. You're with me? That's how we're going to end it. Make sure you go and get you Spirituality Over Religion. It's number one on Amazon. Get it while it's hot, because everybody in the street is going to be talking about it. Especially when Hidden Colors is about to drop, and 2 days is the first premiere, Daddy?
That is it. It's premiering on August 1st, and then August 2nd in New York.
That's right.
And I'll be heading towards Birmingham, United Kingdom, with my brother Tariq, the executive producer.
Right.
We're going to Birmingham this weekend, where it's premiering in Birmingham. And again, like you say, and I appreciate you, in terms of speaking about spirituality before religions, because it becomes very important for our community to understand that a lot of the challenges that we have, is not to make you believe me, it's simply to make you think that long before there was religion, there was a way of life that we today call spirituality. And we are on the cusp of the return of the Black Cosmic Mother. Spoiler alert.
I love whenever you say this. Go ahead. I'm waiting for it.
It's the Black Cosmic Mother coming back.
There we go.
And she is going to solve what's wrong. She is going to heal the planet and heal the children. But there's work that we have to do. Prayer ain't going to just do it. Nala didn't do it through prayer. You didn't see her praying to bring back the pride.
Say it.
Sister was working.
That preach.
And she brought everybody, if I may say, into formation.
Yeah.
That is what the girl that was sitting next to me in the movie theater said. She's like, yes, get into formation. That is funny. That's what the girl that was sitting next to me said. But telling you, that book, I am halfway through Spirituality Before Religion, and I said this before, you do not realize, I've known this man for more than 30 years. I've known him probably his whole life, because when you discuss that you've been with your children for their whole life, for the mother and the father, they've been internally with you. I've been with him his whole life, and I did not realize just how intelligent. Like, he's intelligent. Everybody knows, but you do not know how intelligent he is truly until you read Spirituality Before Religion. And I'm literally, anybody that follows him knows I'm not saying this because he's my father. I'm literally saying this. I've never read a book, and I knew that he was capable of doing it. But when you read the actual book, it's different between knowing and knowing. Like when you read it, you know, like this came from a different part of him. This came from a deep part of your soul that you know that when you read this over, you're like, oh my goodness, who did this? This is amazing. That's how
you're
gonna
need to get
your
physical copy
you
so that you can write on it.
Listen, and that's why I said, okay, I'm gonna, once the physical copy came out, I said, okay, I'm gonna stop reading the electronic version, but I can't stop reading it because I don't want to stop. Like, I want to highlight and put stuff and put notes in it. But
well,
this is not just a
book you read once. It's a textbook that you read over and over again, and you quote it, and you go back to it, and you make notes of it, and you send people it.
Listen, this is like a Bible for spirituality, and I'm totally using that term out of term. But when people talk about a Bible or something, this is a Bible of involution. If you want to know how to involve and become the God having a human experience, this is the book that you need to read in order for you to go back to or become who you're supposed to be, go back to who you were, understand who you are. I can't even finish my sentence.
Open your eyes and tune your ears.
So you know what you see and understand what you hear. Thank you,
Woo!
Sam. I appreciate your props for what we've done. Thank you so much.
No appreciation needed. It's straight facts, and it's not because we're your children. We truly, you know, anybody who knows you feels the same exact way. We've been places, and we've been run down, run over, just so that you could take a picture, they could take a picture with you. So, you know,
I was having a conversation with him one time, and somebody just cut in the middle, like, oh, my God, can I take a picture? I'm like, okay, I'll just move over.
We were in Atlanta, and we were sitting in the restaurant, and Daddy was facing the outside. So this guy, because we liked his shirt or whatever, so we were looking out. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a really nice shirt. And he turned and looked at Daddy. And the how he lit up, he was like, oh, my God, oh, my God. So he came in, he took a picture. He was just like, oh, my God, I can't believe it's you. And he was like, brother, I was admiring your shirt. And so it made him feel even that much better because Daddy was admiring him. And he, of course, is a fan of Daddy. So it's just an amazing thing to witness this. And we appreciate you, Daddy, for just being who you are because you are genuinely you.
Aww.
And we see the influence that you make not only on us but on everybody that comes in contact with you. So keep on keeping on.
Oh,
because
it
ain't
so
who you win. And
no
you
doubt.
Got to win
and
right now.
That is so beautiful.
Hey,
there's
no greater compliment I could ever receive than to hear that from my baby girls.
Aww.
So thank you so much. What you feel means so much to me because that's what it's all about. When your children can reflect and speak that way about you, for me, it's the highest form of compliment. I appreciate everybody's compliments,
you.
But when my fam tells me that, it's the highest form of compliment for me because everything I've ever done has been to and somehow be looked upon by you all that way. So I thank you for all that you've done and you making your father and your mother so proud of all the work that you've done and all of your accomplishments. So thank you.
Thanks so
beautiful.
I appreciate your appreciation and I appreciate you.
Yes, so we love you so much.
Before we all start crying.
There we go.
We play this
there
song
we
before
go.
We all start crying. All right.
Hit it.
So, who's
this guy? Who's cutting the cheese? Who's cutting the onions?
Cutting
you better watch out. You're going to get me going now.
Oh, no.
Who's got me going? Hotep family, see you next time.
Hotep.
See you next time. See you in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Enjoy.
One, two, girl. best thing in the world. No treasure for anybody else in the world. Skin girl, skin just like pearls. The best thing in the world.
I never treasure for anybody else singing.
Says she really grew up poor like me. Don't believe in nothing but the Almighty. Just a little jeans and a pure whitey. She never dreamed forever be nobody wifey. Yeah. She wanna mean a pretty but your heart is a mess. Play you like a villain cause she caught in a way. Tonight yes, I am walking away. 9 to 5 mine and I grind. Yeah, yeah. Tonight I might fall in love. Depending on how you owe me. I'm glad that I'm calming down. Let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love. She fights it by falling slowly. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told me. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. Your back against the world. I never tried you for anybody else. Brown skin girl, skin just like pearls. The best thing in all the world. I never trade you for anybody else.
Pose like a trophy when Naomi's walking. She need an Oscar for that pretty dark skin. Pretty like Lupita when the camera closing. Drip broke 11 when my Kelly's rolling.
I think tonight she might break her brace. Melanin too dark to throw her shade.
She minds her business and winds her ways.
Rolex 24K.
Okay.
Tonight I might fall in love, depending on how you hold me. I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love. She fights it by falling slowly. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told me. Brown skin girl, got skin just like pearls. You're back against the world. I never tried you for anybody else. A brown skin girl, got skin just like pearls. The best thing about the world. I never tried you for anybody else.
Oh, have you looked in the mirror lately? Wish you could trade eyes with me. There's complexities in complexion, but your skin is glow like diamonds. Dig me like the earth, you be giving back to everything alive, baby, know your worth. I love everything about you, from your nappy curl to every single curve of your body, natural.
Same skin that was broken, me the same skin taking over. Things are the focus view, but when you're in the room, they notice you.
Cause you're beautiful. Ooh. Yeah, you're beautiful. Ooh.
Them and them gon' fall in love with you and all of glory. Your skin is not only dark, it shines and it tells your story. You dance and they can't control you. They watch and they all adore you. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told you. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. You're back against the world. I never tried you for anybody else.
Best thing in the world. I never charge you for anybody else singing.